Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. We're reminded in this reading from Isaiah this morning of this world, which, because of our sin, is veiled, covered in a shroud of suffering and death. Now, of course, Isaiah brings the good news that this veil will one day be removed, that death will be swallowed up forever there on God's holy hill. But your experience and mine remind us that this hasn't happened yet, at least not fully. As the psalmist says, as we just sang in that hymn, we currently walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are still bodies lying in graves, and one day each of us will sprout our own tombstone, as it were, from the dust of the earth. The shadow is all around us. It covers us. And one of the most difficult things, I think, about suffering and death is how speechless they leave us. Of course, not on the surface. I mean, on the face of it, we have all kinds of things that we say when suffering and death strike. Phrases and sentiments that attempt to interpret what's going on. Things that try to make sense of all of it. So there's all of the at least statements, right? At least mom didn't have to suffer too long. At least grandpa is in a better place. At least dad's death brought the whole family together again. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some truth in these at least statements, but while they admit that death is bad, they also try to make the best of it, which is not something that we should be doing with death. Or what about all the superlatives that come out at a memorial service or a funeral? Just eavesdrop on the conversations that are going on, and you'll walk away with the impression that this person who died did no wrong. Right? What I remember most about so-and-so is that he always, fill in the blank with a virtue. What I remember most about so-and-so is that he never, fill in the blank with a vice. You're standing around the coffin, maybe, if you have that, and inevitably someone will say, he looks just as good as he did when he was alive. Except for the fact that he's not breathing, right? Maybe you've heard about this story of Brittany Maynard is her name, this 29-year-old woman who was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And she's moved her family to Oregon so that she can, quote, die with dignity. So now all of a sudden, the thing that saps our dignity from us as humans, now we get to call that dignified? You see, there are all kinds of things that we try to say in the face of death, to make it better, to take away the sharp edges, but at the end of the day, all of the sentiments, all of the superlatives, after they've all been uttered, after we feebly try to make the best of this sad situation, we're still left awkwardly speechless. Nothing to say. Death has swallowed a loved one, which is a reminder that it will swallow us as well. The veil which covers us is heavy, and it is dark. And beneath its weight, we are silent. There's nothing that we can say that will remove that veil. No amount of courage in the face of death, no amount of bravery that we can muster will make it any less of the monster that it is. We are helpless in its presence. And dear friends, that's okay. It's okay. Because remember what God's promise to Isaiah, to us, is this morning. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples. He will remove the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. Not because we've spoken some grand word, no, for the Lord has spoken. And what he speaks are not temporal promises. The Lord's answer to death is not to make the best of it by redefining it as somehow good or beautiful. His answer, his word, his promise is to defeat it, to destroy it, swallow it up forever. And where does he do that? But on his holy hill. James Tissot was a French artist of the 19th century, and he painted a lot of things, but he's very well known for his 12 Stations of the Cross. These are paintings that you reflect on, especially during Lent, that depict the story of the Passion of Christ. But he added a painting to the 12 Stations of the Cross, and it's not traditional. It's a painting called View from the Cross. And appropriately so, because in this painting, you are placed in the perspective of Christ himself, hanging on the cross. So there at the foot of the cross, you see Mary and John. Over on one side, you see the Pharisees and the religious leaders who delivered him over to death. On another side, you see the Roman soldiers who crucified him. And then before him is a crowd just gazing at Christ, at you, as he hangs there. But if you look off in the distance, there's this darkness. You know, the darkness that came over the whole land? And it's encroaching like a veil, a covering upon Christ. And there at the edge of the darkness is this tomb, the tomb that Christ would be laid in after he breathed his last breath. And it's there gaping open like a mouth, ready to swallow him. You see, there on that hill, we see this strange work of God. That in order to swallow death, death must first swallow him. And I think it's masterful that Tissot in this painting puts us in the perspective of Christ, because in our baptism, that's exactly what happens. We're given the wedding garment that allows us to be at the feast. We are swallowed, we are covered, we are enveloped and veiled in the death and resurrection of Christ. And dear friends, that transforms the way that we suffer, and it transforms the way that we die. You see, the cross actually allows us to call death exactly what it is. It's wretched, it's sin-wrought, it's dignity-sapping, it's a monster. And we don't have to try and make the best of it, because the cross allows us to remain speechless and silent in the face of death. It even allows us to face death without fear, and with fear. It allows us to face death without bravery, with tears and trepidation. I mean, don't get me wrong. You don't have to fear death as a baptized child of God, but it's okay if you do. You don't have to become brave in the face of death. You can, but you don't have to. You don't have to muster up strength in the face of death. It's okay to be utterly and helplessly weak. Because death is horrible. And to try to call it anything else is not to take it seriously. But we also remember that death is not king. The cross gives us permission not to have an answer to death, because the cross is God's answer to death, as is his empty tomb. And so we continue to cling to Christ in faith, not because he makes our death beautiful or good. Quite the contrary. Precisely because death is not beautiful and not good, but he promises to overturn it. And what a day that will be. On his holy hill, where the Lord once traded his garment and hung naked and shamed on the cross so that we would be clothed in his righteousness, on that day, everyone will be clothed in the pure white righteousness of Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Where there was once only wine mixed with gall to drink, there, on that day, there will be rich wine that will not run out. Where the Lamb was once silent in the face of death, on that last day, there will be the entire unsilenceable church crying out their praises to the Lamb, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who once was slain but now has begun his reign." And that day cannot come soon enough. And yet, as we wait, we prepare for the feast even now. The Lamb's body, the Lamb's blood, given for us for the forgiveness of our sins, even as we suffer and even as we die, we proclaim that suffering and death do not, will not, and cannot have the last word. For the Lord has spoken. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.